Так, ты вспомни. Ты что, брат?
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we continuing with what is discussed or what we are trying to achieve in the Khanka. So the next point is Muhasaba, stock taking. Lot of times we are just going through our lives in a ghaflat. We don't take a stock. Which direction am I moving in? Have I improved? Have I made any changes? Am I retrogressing? So, the Hadith Sharif states, حَاسِبُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. It takes stock of yourself before stock is taken of you. In other words, before we have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala, and now Allah Ta'ala will be questioning us, Allah have mercy on us, must always make dua, Allahumma hasibna hisabe yaseera. Ghaliban, I think, Ma'aisha radiallahu anha, she asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, what is the meaning of hisabe yaseera, an easy reckoning? So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to her that Allah Ta'ala won't really scrutinize the Nama-i-Amal. Allah Pak will just, like how in Urdu they say, sar-sari tor par, just page through it and, alright. In my mercy, my karam, my fazal, my ihsan upon you, jao, for Jannat, jao. Because if Allah Ta'ala has to look into our Nama-i-Amal, none of us will pass. But Allah Ta'ala really has to now look in and take us to account for everything. Nobody will pass. None of us will pass. So this is the other thing the Mashayikh did advise us, that before going to sleep, spend few minutes. Take a stock of your day. Anything good that Allah Ta'ala allowed for us to do, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Somewhere we slipped up, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And then make a firm intention that tomorrow I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm not going to get caught up in the same guna. So this is muhasaba. This is the other instruction that we are given in the Khanka. Then ta'lim on dhikr is given. Quran Sharif commands us to be constant in dhikrullah, to make lot of dhikr. Kathrate dhikr, dawame ta'at. Make dhikr in abundance and be perpetually in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Dhikr, a person dhikr lisani, he cannot be in perpetual dhikr lisani. He's going to go to sleep. He has to go toilet, he has to eat. So dhikr is kathrat, kathrat-e dhikr. Make dhikr in abundance. But ita'at, dawam ita'at, perpetual obedience. Even we go toilet, it is in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. We bathing also in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Anything we do is in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Dawam ita'at, perpetual obedience. The chain of obedience must not break. If it breaks, tawbah, istighfar, patch it up, continue moving. Allah Ta'ala didn't put us in the dunya to grieve over gunas. Allah Pak wants us to remember Him, not to sit and grieve over sins. Sins we make tawbah, we make istighfar, finish. Sometime, it's an ajeeb thing, shaitan's deception. Sometime, A person, he keeps thinking about himself. I'm no good. I'm waste of time. I'm good for nothing. And he thinks that in this thinking of his, a lot of humility, a lot of fikr, and that's a deception. We think about ourselves, what sawab we gonna get? Where we became so important that I must engross my mind in myself. I'm like this, I'm like that, I'm like, no. You make muhasaba for a few minutes at night and sort it out. The rest of the time I must be thinking of Allah Pak. Thinking of Allah Ta'ala, that's going to bring me benefit. Sitting and thinking about myself all the time, I'm like this, I'm like this, I'm like that. That too is a type of ujub. The person is so engrossed in himself. Be engrossed in Allah Ta'ala, not in ourself. Jee, so ta'lim on dhikr.
Right.
So the Shaykh, he will attempt to establish constant dhikr in this ta'lim. This person who is seeking Allah Ta'ala, so he will tell him what dhikr to make, how he must make. Some people will be told to make dhikr silently. Some people will be told that they must make dhikr audibly. Some people, they will be told, no, you make a little bit loudly. Some people will be told you must make darb. Others will be told, no, you don't make any darb. Some people will be told, yeah, you must move your neck. Other people will be told, no, you just sit still. You don't move your neck. And you just make dhikr. So each person, the Shaykh will prescribe for them. Sometimes the Shaykh won't give the person too much dhikr to make. Sometimes he'll give him, tell him you must make 12 tasbih. Sometimes he may tell him you make more than that also. So dhikrullah. So this is the other thing which is in the ta'lim of the khanqa. And all this must be within the boundaries of the sharia. Every shaykh will have his own tariqat. But the tariqat must be within the boundaries of the sharia. Nobody can go out of the boundaries of the sharia. So, when we make dhikrullah, this whole maqsad of making dhikrullah is to bring that conscious awareness of Allah Ta'ala. When Jibreel alayhi salam came, the famous hadith of Jibreel, he asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Iman, what is Islam? And then he asked him, what is Ihsan? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must make ibadat and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. Like as if to say you are seeing Allah. When you're making ibadat, it must be like as if to say you are seeing Allah. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. So this is the easier thing, that if you cannot reach that stage where you are looking at Allah Ta'ala, then at least this much, have this that Allah Ta'ala is looking at me. He is looking. Allah Pak is looking at me. So this will come with dhikrullah. But provided the dhikrullah is done with muraqabah. Not just in ghaflat. Otherwise the zikr also is done in ghaflat. The zikr also must be with the muraqabah. Then slowly, slowly with time, the sifati ihsan will come. When the sifati ihsan come, then this is real ibadat. Now the person will be really making ibadat. I'm looking at Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is looking at me. And now he's making his ibadat like this. And this is not only salah. His whole life will become like that. So life will become like that. As Imam Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, that one person, he told his shaykh, he said, Alhamdulillah, I managed to get this sifati ihsan now in my salah, and I'm reading my namaz, as if to say I'm looking at Allah Ta'ala. So the shaykh asked him, only in namaz? Then this sifat you only getting in namaz? Hazrat mentioned this example. Magda Sahib also mentioned this example, that one person was in the khanqa. Sometimes we hear these examples over and over, but these examples are medication. It's not just stories now. Oh, okay, I heard this one. No. Think about it. I heard this thing. Now this thing came in me. Did it come in me? Why our mashayikh are mentioning this over and over, over and over? This person was in the Khanqah, and the Shaykh is giving a lot of attention to him, like, you know. So obviously other people now, they're getting jealous why the Shaykh is giving this person so much of attention. So the Shaykh also, he realized what's going on now. So he wanted to show these people that this person, how serious he is taking his Islam. So one day he called them and he told them, right, all of you, get one animal and go and slaughter this animal where nobody can see you. Slaughter the animal where nobody sees you. So everybody took, somebody took sheep, goat, whatever they took, they went and slaughtered and came. So this person, he had one chicken. So he brought the thing live. The Sheikh's asking everybody, where you slaughtered, where you slaughtered. This one is saying he did over there, he did here. You sure nobody saw you? Yeah, nobody saw me. He asked this person, he said, but you couldn't slaughter it. He said, Hazrat, you said nobody must be able to see. Wherever I went, Allah Ta'ala was looking at me. So I couldn't fulfill that requirement. Now we must ask ourselves, I'm sitting alone with the phone in my hand. At that time, am I thinking Allah Ta'ala is watching me? I'm interacting with my wife. Am I thinking at that time Allah Ta'ala is watching me? One person told me, say, Maulana, just touch on this topic a little bit, you know, about the temper of the wife. The wife gets very angry. What we must do when the wife gets so angry? So you must get entertained. Allah Pak gave you a wife, she must entertain you. See, one sahabi was getting a little bit older, right? So other sahaba told him, so let us get you married again. Get you married again. Tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuk. You can play with her, she will play with you. In other words, she will amuse you, you will amuse her. But he turned on the offer. He said, no, he don't. The point is that Allah Pak give you a wife. So now she cooks for you. It's not her duty. It's her favor. She cooks for you. So you also do so many favors for her. So she also doing favors for you. It's a two-way street. It's not, you don't go by a book of rights. You go by a book of love. So she's cooking for you. Sometimes she's looking after the children. She's making sure the maid is doing her work in the house. Then on top of it, you tell her to see to the garden boy also. So many other responsibilities she takes on. So she's doing all these things. And all these things are for your benefit, right? So she get angry also. I say, at least I can see this side of her too. Can't only see one side now. You see this side of her also. So why we must get angry now? She got angry, why we must get angry? Let her get angry. She got angry, let her get angry. Our job is to bring her temperature down. If you got a fever, you go to the doctor. Your fever mustn't give the doctor fever. The doctor must remain calm. So, no, don't worry, you're alright. Just take this medicine here and he'll be okay. Isn't? The doctor must give you that peace of mind. Not this new kind doctors, baby. The new kind doctors, I don't know. I don't know what kind of laws they got now. Look at the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So beautiful. Right? Sunnat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you go to visit a person, the person looking very sick. You must tell him, hey, you're looking well, man, mashallah. Hey, just now you'll be walking, man, just now you'll be. This we learn, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. You tell the sick person encouraging words. And before the doctors were like that also. Now these new laws they got, the person got some serious ailment, the doctor is telling him everything. If that person had little bit of hope also, that hope too is gone, khalas. So no, by law we have to tell the person, to tell him everything as it is, how it is. So, the point is that if somebody got a problem and they come to you, so you got to now allay their fear. So now if she is throwing a tantrum, so your job is to bring the temperature down. Bring, not now, you also must get angry now. Then we're going to have two mad people. So two mad people, then is an asylum. The house become an asylum. Now what are you going to do there now? Rather, she got angry, no problem. Now let me see how skilled I am. You go fishing, you want to show all your companions how skilled you are. Now I can hook that thing. You all don't know how to. I'll teach you how to. You go firearm training, there too you want to show your skill. How accurate I am. Go hunting, I'll show you how I can track that animal and shoot that. Each person, whatever hobby they got, you're driving, Even the old people now can't drive now, like how you should drive when you're young. I see the young people driving. Yeah, by, we did all this in our days, So everybody wants to show their skill. So in, we must have husbandry skills also. Allah Pak, give me first. So you people are okay, you are not talking, so your wives are not listening. I'm talking, so tomorrow if I throw a tantrum there, say, what to bayan you? Listen to your bayan, make amal. So we must develop the skill now. She got upset now, how I must bring this upset, I must make it right set. How am I put her in a good mood now? She's in a bad mood. I must put her in a good mood. The temperature has gone high now. How am I bring the temperature low? Then we're doing something positive. Now, if we're also going to get angry and start shouting and everything, then it's a waste, right? It's a waste. Gee. So this muhasaba, right? So the zikrullah, this will bring the yaad of Allah Ta'ala. Then the sifati ihsan will come. Then, sometime in the khanqah, some shaghal is given. We hear this, dhikr and shaghal. So, shaghal kya cheez hai? What is the shaghal now? Dhikr we know. You know, the greatest form of dhikr is that whatever the hukam of Allah Ta'ala is directed to me at that time, I must fulfill that. A person who is a muti', he is obedient to Allah Ta'ala, he is in a state of dhikr. Understand? Now, shaghal, this was something used to be prescribed a lot in the past. That a person must just sit. All these people with ADHD and everything, they should send them to the khanqah. Come right. So the person must just sit. The sheikh sometime, there is a frame there with Allah Ta'ala's name on it. So you just sit for half an hour, for just look at this frame, that's all. For so many minutes, you mustn't blink also. It's to bring about concentration. The person is aware of every move of his. He mustn't move. He mustn't talk, he mustn't move. He just look at Allah, that's all. So different types of shaghal used to be given. But this is shaghal. Sometime now the sheikh will tell the person to do something like that. Hazrat Jamal Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, people used to come and stay for lengthy periods of time in the khanqah. So for the first 40 days in the khanqah, so he used to tell them that you must just sit for 1 hour and just take the name of Allah. This is mezat, 1 hour. Just sit and just say Allah, 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 Allah for 1 hour. Now these things, we mustn't just start trying doing all these things on ourselves. These things you do with the guidance of a sheikh. The sheikh will tell a person, he knows which person has got the ability. Sometimes the sheikh may tell you to do something. When you're doing it now, something else is happening to you, you're going to communicate that to the Sheikh. The Sheikh will tell you what to do. So this is shagal. This was also something that used to be prescribed. Like shagal was to bring, you know, to be able to hold the self. You're not looking here, looking there. So when you are making that shagal, big noise can take place there. You don't look anyway. You just look there. So now when you come in a masjid also, you will be concentrating on what you need to do. Not now you came to say, now that one said there, now I must go tell him something. This one said, wait, that one is, now let me move up here, let me move. No, your chain is gone. Your sukoon is gone. What namaz are you going to read? You worried about where this one is, where that one is, who must come here, who must come there? No. Sometimes murids also, they get in this sickness. They come for the program. Instead of concentrating on themselves, they worried about the Sheikh. Now they tell all other people, make peace, make them good. Right. The Sheikh, he didn't learn to walk today. He knows how to walk. He knows how to find his space. And he too got GPS and everything on his phone and everything. He'll find his way. Now we want to overperform. Your sukoon goes away. Your own sukoon goes away. You're not concentrating on what you need to do. So you came in the masjid, you need to read your sunnah. You look down, you read your sunnah and carry on. Whoever needs to come where they get placed, they'll find their place, they'll sit, they'll carry on, they'll do their thing. Understand? So this shagal helps a person to bring that unity of purpose. Just concentrate on one thing. That's my work. That's what I need to do. So now when you go out also, now you know that I came home, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that. Now there's one attraction there. Whether it's on the phone, whether it's a friend, whether it's something, that's not going to trouble you. You at work, somebody is making ghibat about you, somebody is trying to burn you by the boss, somebody is trying to get you demoted. That's all not my business. My business is Allah Ta'ala. Right? I must just focus on Allah Ta'ala and carry on. What's to be will be. Nobody can harm me, nobody can benefit me. Only Allah Ta'ala. How much Allah Ta'ala wants benefit to come to me is gonna come. How much Allah Ta'ala wants harm to come to me is gonna come. The only person that can assist me in what he benefits me is Allah Ta'ala. The only one who can help me and protect me from whatever harms me is only Allah Ta'ala. So I rather just concentrate on it. Nothing else. So this is a shagal. Then, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, they were munafiqeen in the time of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Various types of munafiqeen. They all attended the majlis. They used to come and sit in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why be amazed at the presence of such people in the Khanqah also? You'll get munafiqeen. Come to the Khanqah. We can't say anybody is munafiq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could say because Allah ta'ala informed him. Right? But there will be people that will come with ulterior motives. Some people come, they are spies. Some people, they're coming there just because they got some other motive. They're not really there for Islam. The ones to benefit, however, are those who are mukhlis and satcha. Person is sincere, is truly there, he will benefit. These are the real talib. If you see the other type in attendance, then don't blame the Khanqah. What fault is it of the Khanqah? They were munafiqeen sitting on the suffa also. Right? They were munafiqeen around Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So that was no fault of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. That was their own fault. Their own, you know, it reminds me of one incident. The police arrived at a Darul Uloom and they spoke to the Muhtamim and they said that they are looking for a certain person who has committed a theft. So the Muhtamim told him that there's no thieves in the madrasa. Only students here, no thieves. So they said, no, but we have to do our investigation. So they arrested one person. So then they told the Muhtamim, they said, this person is guilty. You say there's no thieves. So the Muhtamim said, definitely, there's no thieves in the madrasa. Sometime a thief comes and disguises himself as a student. That's no fault of the madrasa. The madrasa only takes in students. But sometime a thief comes and he disguises himself as a student. So that is his deception. He deceived the madrasa and came there. He is a thief disguised as a student. Jee. So we'll just read this last one more portion here. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali mentions Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Saab. His qissa comes to mind. Though there are numerous other qissas about taqwa. So he was a resident of Kandla. His zamana was just before that of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Saab Rahmatullah Ali and Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanwati Saab Rahmatullah Ali. The two of them were still in their youth at the time when Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Saab was already in old age. You can imagine now which zamana we're talking about. Now what a caliber of person he must have been. Anyhow, while still young, he had gone to complete his studies by Shah Muhammad Ishaq Saab Rahmatullah Ali in Delhi. At that time, he had already completed studying Farsi, Persian, and few other kitabs, and he was already conversant with fiqhi masail. He had already done some kitabs on fiqh, etc. So he arrived in Delhi, because you see, at that time there was no Dars-e-Nizami. So people used to study, they start studying something, but some start studying something. So he arrived in Delhi and presented himself at the house of Shah Muhammad Ishaq Saab Rahmatullah Ali. Meal time came and he was served with dal and roti. He ate the roti but not the dal. He didn't eat the dal, he only ate the roti. When the dishes went back to the kitchen, the Shah Saab's wife noticed the uneaten dal. So she said, "Oh, what kind of youngster is this now? He ate the roti, he didn't eat the dal. He wants to be served with meat every day. You don't want to eat dal. Like our students, they don't want to eat sugar beans. Sugar beans, they hardly anybody come to eat. Today's students, they don't eat dal and rice too. That all they don't eat. Because from small, you see, their stomachs can only eat weak food. They only eat chips, burger, pizza, all these things. Processed type of things. So when they eat real food, they can't eat. Dars, or lentils, all that. Now then they can't eat those things. But they don't eat real food. From small, they're eating Nutella for breakfast and, you know, what, 2 minute noodle, 2 minute. I don't know what taqat and health there is in this 2 minute noodle. All eating 2 minute noodle, 2 minute. Now there's some funny names and sauces and spices, and they just love that thing. So they can't, their systems can't digest asli khau, proper food. You give them tarkaris, you give them vegetables to eat, all that, this all they know. You give them all burger, pizza, poloni, all that, all now, we're at home, you can eat all that. So she thought that this Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Saab is like that. No, he only wants ghosts. He don't eat that. So she told this to Shah Saab. So he said, okay, I'll find out. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is saying, you see, you must always make tahqiq. Make tahqiq first. Investigate first. Find out. It is incorrect to cast aspersions on anybody without first investigating and finding out the facts. So Shasa went to inquire from him that, oh young man, you didn't eat the dal. Are you on some kind of diet? Now see way. See, learn. Right? Allah give me tawfiq also. Learn. Look at a woman, look at a man. Now we must decide who we want to be. The wife, you saw her reaction? Oh, look at this youngster. Now you don't want to eat meat. Well, what kind of youngster this is? Only ate the roti, never eat the dal. That was her reaction. Now look at Shah Sahib now. He went to him. Bhai, are you on some kind of parezi? So he's finding out. So he asked him, you ate the roti, you never eat the dal. So he said, Hazrat, my heart didn't desire the dal. He gave this jawab. Shah Sahib was Shah Sahib. He said, no, bhai. Tell me the real reason. Give me the real reason. Why didn't you eat the dal? So he said, Hazrat, the fact is that I realized that there were some mangoes, sour mango, green mango, green mango, added to the dal. And that's why I didn't eat it. Right? Now we won't understand this. But in India, at that time, there was a habit amongst the businessmen that they would buy the crop before the crop came on the tree too. Before it's harvested, they would already buy the crop. Now this type of sale is not allowed in Sharia. Right? So he says, I saw this, and that's why I didn't eat the dal. So he didn't tell them anything, didn't make them feel uncomfortable. Right? So this was his taqwa, right? His insight, his taqwa. Yet he had only gone to study. He was still a student. But look at his taqwa. Shah Sahib was wonderstruck. He said, my thoughts did not even focus on this aspect. He went inside, he told his wife. He said, Allah Pak sent one angel to come make our Islam. Now look at his humility now. So Allah Pak sent one angel to come and make our Islam. It does happen at times that certain matters have such fine points that these details escape the attention of many a learned person too. Because something becomes urf. It's normal, we just carry on. Right? But sometime another person, he may not be an alim to anything, but he just latches on to that thing. And he realized that, this is not the right thing. So when a junior points out something which is correct and haq, it beholds the seniors to take note and accept. So Shah Sahib, he had no hesitation in accepting the correct observation and attitude of the student. So he said to him, no. He said, after that, he made elan in his home, no mangoes are to be bought from the bazaar in future until it has not been ascertained from which orchard they came. Whether they came from an orchard where the fruit has been sold after the appearance of the crop or before its appearance. In other words, whether that sale was permissible or not. Now imagine, you see, today's time, we will say it and we will carry on saying it because we are weak. Allah Ta'ala guide us and Allah Ta'ala. But many of our ulama, they're talking about this stunned meat, Stay away from the stunned meat. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to speak about it also. And Alhamdulillah, I mean, the house of Allah Ta'ala, I'm only mentioning it to you as the hadith and ni'mat, that alhamdulillah, good few households have informed me that Moana, from the time you mentioned this, or you came here, you had program, ladies program in our town, or yeah, whatever, from that time, we have stopped, we are only eating Anstan. And Allah Ta'ala is making it such that this unstunned meat is becoming more and more available now. If you turn the clock back, it was very hard to get unstunned. I remember in Masjid al-Taqwa days, I was telling the musallis that, no, let's get together, 3-4 of us, buy it. Because now what are you going to do with the whole big bull now? Sheep, yeah, you can slaughter it, okay, it will last you, it depends how much meat you eat in the house, it will last you, but a sheep you can slaughter. Now one bull, what you going to do, slaughter one whole bull? So I was used to tell them, no, we should get together now, a few of us, whatever, and purchase one animal, slaughter it, we can distribute the meat, we know we got our beef also, because that's our problem now. This youngster, he perceived the mango, so he said, I won't eat. Now let's eat the roti. Now we want to eat. So now we have to find the right thing to eat now. So, a lot of times people go now, at home they're not eating stunned, but when they go Madina Sharif, Makkah Sharif, you know, we're getting watani. So what is watani? The watani to is stunned. It's not unstunned. The watani tree is stunned. It's not unstunned. So why we can't just make some little bit sacrifice over there? We're only there for 1 week, 2 week, 10 days, something. Make some sacrifice. When everything else is going golmaal there, then how can we trust the slaughtering thing that everything there is 100% fine? Everything is going upside down. You see everything going upside down in front of your eyes. And how can we trust the meat industry and say, no. That our problem is our nafs. We want to eat that chicken and we want to eat that and we want to eat this. So we'll bluff ourselves, pat ourselves on the back and carry on. And you know, when you just, you make the niyat, right? And you make little bit himmat. Right? Allah Ta'ala provides for you so much that you can't even finish it. Allah Pak gives you so much, you can't eat it too. So much Allah is giving you. Allah Pak makes the arrangement for your meal before you can even reach there too. Allah Pak makes so much arrangement for your meal that you have to tell people by bus. Now you made up your mind, you're not going to buy all these things, you're not going to eat all these things. You are Allah's mehman, He's not going to look after you. Your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mehman, not going to look after you. He must look after you. So a lot of people, alhamdulillah, they have stopped eating stunned, and Allah Ta'ala is opening the road, so many towns, so many places people are now. This became like another market now, unstunned. People are advertising that we got unstunned. And it becomes so easy now, even if you want processed meat too, you can get unstunned processed meat. You can't do without your sausages and polonies and everything. That too you can get it unstunned. But the sad thing is that when this thing is spoken about, right, then people who are supposed to be halal authorizing bodies and all that, they are the ones fighting with you. Why are you talking about this thing? You're creating fitna in the ummah. Right. This was the type of ihtiyat. We talk about our Salaf al-Saliheen, our pious predecessors. This is the type of ihtiyat they were exercising. Imagine this young student, when you study, You just perceive, no, this mango is inside here, and there is this type of bay that takes place, which is a bay a batil. You can't transact like that, so I won't eat this thing. What level of taqwa for a young person? And today, big people who are in charge of authority, they fighting when you're trying to bring it to the attention of the ummah that by watch out for this, watch out for that. Exercise caution here, exercise caution there. So that's why we see that decline in the ummah. Since it's such a decline. But alhamdulillah, a lot of people, in fact, people are becoming so conscious about this. One mother wrote to me. She's saying that all of a sudden I'm seeing a change in my 3-year-old. So one of the things she writes is, I'm trying to figure out where she's picking this thing up. I don't know if we ate something doubtful. That's one of the things she wrote. I don't know if we ate something doubtful and that's bringing about this behavior. Because what we eat has a direct impact with our actions. Sometimes we're trying to put our children on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. We're trying to influence them, encourage them to study, to do this, to do that. And they're just not interested. Right? On one side, we're giving them a lot of tarqib. Other side, we're feeding them all the wrong things. So how the balance is going to come? How the balance is going to come, right? You will first do a cleanup, right? Then the balance will come. Today our children, they are just eating anything and everything from just anywhere and everywhere. To be very careful. Allah Ta'ala give us the sifat, bless us with taqwa. Somebody told me, Zumana, I mean, overnight program, big poster saying overnight program. What overnight program? Overnight program means must have program whole night. Then it's an overnight program. Otherwise, what kind of program we have been? Say this short program, going to sleep, and you're making big posters saying overnight program. What is overnight program? So we won't keep you whole night. Just make little bit dhikrullah, some munajat, some zikrullah, some dua.